this place today. We thank you, Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Father, you never leave us as orphans. You never leave us in a field covered in our own blood, forsaken and forlorn. Father, you rescue us. Lord, you draw us to yourself. You love us, Father. You raise us up, Lord God. You put us in heavenly places with you. Father, we come before your throne this morning. We give you honor and glory in this place, for there is none like you. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your holy name. Amen. Back in the 1960s, when some of you don't know about, which was in the last century, Nikita Khrushchev was the secretary of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. And in one infamous speech, he declared the superiority of the Communist Party over America and said, "We will bury you." Ironically, by the time he died in 1971, he'd fallen out of favor with the Soviet Union, and they did not want him to be buried on their soil. So they approached the Americans and asked them if they would take his corpse. And President Nixon said, no. So in desperation, the Soviet officials asked Israel if they would take his corpse. And Golda Meir, who was the president at the time, she actually said, yes, we will bury him in our country, but I need to warn you that we have the highest resurrection rate in the world. And indeed, the tomb of Jesus is still empty. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, it says, "Come, now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." A distinctive color that you're holding in your hands today. You were all given a card with a scripture on that very scripture that I just read, and a little thread of wool attached. Very distinctive color. A vivid color. A color that throughout history has been associated with sin. And more importantly, it's been associated with sexual sin. It's been known as the color of prostitution and sexual infidelity. It was used as a way to label wayward women who sell her body to equally wayward men. So we speak of the scarlet woman. The novelist Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote The Scarlet Letter, and he referred to the punishment inflicted on adulterers in colonial New England. They were forced to wear a big A in red that would be sewn onto their garments. Fortunately, we do not have that practice today. It would be disastrous. We'd run out of red fabric, I'm sure. But if we go to the book of Joshua, we see Rahab, who lived in Jericho, and she was a scarlet woman. In fact, in numerous places in the Bible, she is referred to as Rahab the prostitute, using prostitute almost like a surname. Her name, Rahab, means pride, and it might be indicative of the home that she grew up in. her parentage and her upbringing. Now, considering all that I've just said, that card that you might be holding in your hand this morning with that red thread, suddenly you don't want to be associated with it anymore. Well, perhaps I should take my jacket off. I never considered that this morning when I was getting dressed. Jericho was located in a valley about 16 kilometers northwest of the Dead Sea, at one of the largest freshwater springs in Palestine. Probably not that large in association with today's cities, but it had a huge thick wall, and it would make it, which made it very difficult to conquer. This was a land where throwing children onto burning altars and prostitution were ways in which people practiced their religion. In fact, it was called upon every single woman in Canaan to, at some stage in her life, to spend time as a temple prostitute. It didn't matter where you came from, it didn't matter what your station was in life, at some stage in your life, as a woman, you had to go to the temple and do duty as a temple prostitute. Needless to say, there were children born out of these relationships, because the men would come during the time when they were planting time, in order to have relations with his woman so that they would have a good crop. And then children would be born. These children would be sacrificed on burning altars. And clearly, if we have a look at the situation in which Rahab lived, we begin to realize that this woman, whom the Bible in several places calls Rahab the prostitute, was definitely a sinner amongst sinners. Yet the Lord had mercy on her. When we open the book of Joshua, we find that the people of Israel had been meandering aimlessly through the wilderness for 40 years. And now the promised land was in sight after they had been freed from Pharaoh's slavery. They no longer had Moses as their leader, but they had a young commander in Joshua, full of energy. And he was the one that was going to lead them across the stormy banks of the Jordan River into the promised land. And as Joshua, this young commander, cast this wistful eye across the banks into Canaan, and he looked over there, he thought, he best send in the CIA, or the Hawks, to find out how strong Jericho really was. And when the spies entered the land, they immediately went into the house of one that was built on the city walls, and the house belonged to Rahab, the prostitute, a house of ill repute. Now, I am pretty certain that there is not anybody in this place today that would willingly go into another country and spend the night in a brothel, I hope. When we read the account of Joshua in Joshua chapter 2, we see that Joshua is sending the CIA or Hawks, but the people in Jericho had their KGB, and they were spying out the Hebrew spies that Joshua had sent in. They knew that there were people that had come into Rahab's house. Rahab lived on the city wall. And in biblical times, pagan cultures, the big houses, were built at the city gates, and they served as inns. And Rahab and her family operated one of these inns for all the travelers that would come by and pass through, and they would pass on knowledge of what was going on in the world around them. So pretty much they were clued up about what was happening on the other side of the Jordan. The innkeeper of any of these establishments was required by law to inform the palace of any strangers that would come into the land, especially one that was engaged in hostility towards their nation. So clearly, the minute these spies entered into the land, the king was notified. He knew that they were there. But you know, Rahab was a designing woman. She had a plan. First and foremost, she was a survivor. She'd heard about the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea and in the recent conquests of Israel of the two kings of the Amorites. Word of these events had spread throughout Jericho and it had frightened the people. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, we read, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed." But fright is not faith. And fear is not faith. Rahab might have shared the fright of her other townspeople, of her neighbors, but she came to a conclusion that the rest of them had not. And that was that the God of Israel was the one true God. Rahab knew how to deal, and she does. So she sends the king of Jericho's soldiers merrily on their way on a wild goose chase, and she hides Joshua's spies on the rooftop of her house. But most of all, she opened her heart. She opened her mind and she opened the rooftop of her house with a proposition. A proposition quite unlike the ones that she was used to making. She hoped that these men, these spies that were now on her rooftop, would repay her kindness to them by sparing her family. She hadn't even asked them yet. But when she let them out of down by a rope from her window, Joshua's spies responded with a promise that they would honor the pact and she and her family would be saved as long as she hung a scarlet cord out of her window. Very, very simple, very straightforward, very clear. The scarlet cord would send a message. Unmistakable, the scarlet cord. Scarlet is very visible. Scarlet is indelible. A scarlet cord for a scarlet woman. But this was about to become a red badge of courage and a label for salvation. Rahab had found out from Joshua's spies that God was ready and willing and able to save even the most flagrant of sinners. The God of Israel, the God of surprises, is ready. He's eager to honor the scarlet cord of salvation, no matter who it is that hangs it out of the window. Doesn't matter how flagrant a sinner you might be, if you hang that scarlet cord out of the window, it will be seen. It's bright. It's vivid. It cannot be missed. I described Rahab as a designing woman with a plan. And she was. But her plan would not have worked if she had not encountered a God with a plan. A designing God. A God who traces on the map of all human history his plan. His design of salvation. His plan is to seek out everyone, and to save everyone, to make use of everyone, no matter how degraded they might be. And for some reason, a lot of Christians have decided that their sin is indelible. Their scarlet sins are absolutely indelible. But I want to tell you today that the God of Rahab says no. The designing God who saves people says no. The scarlet thread that you're holding in your hands today says no. Our God is willing and able to save and use anyone, no matter what your past, no matter what your reputation. That includes every single one of us who touches the scarlet cord. Our loving God is able and willing and eager to hang out the scarlet cord for every one of us, for every scarlet woman and every sin-stained man. If you've made a mistake, don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself lost forever. Don't imagine that you can never be saved. You are Rahab. And if you, like Rahab, can say, I know the Lord, and I've heard of the Lord, and I see the Lord of God of heaven and earth, you can be forgiven. You are a Rahab, and if you are like Rahab, you can plead, deal kindly with me. You can cry out to God for mercy. He will change you. He will forgive you. He will use you. He will rescue you. Amen. Whatever you have done, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be cleansed and they can be washed away. That scarlet is not indelible. You can be as white as snow. Just ask. Just ask. Grasp the cord and ask. But you might be sitting there this morning like Joshua's troops on the other side of the banks of the Jordan. And this morning I need to speak to the troops as well. The Christian that feels that they have not strayed, that they've been pure, that they can't be called scarlet. I need to speak to these troops, the people of God, sitting over here with Joshua and waiting for a chance to claim the promised land. Can you imagine what Joshua's army must have said when these two spies returned? And they told them about the deal that they have made? You went to what house? You slept on the roof where? Alone? Seriously? You promised Rahab what? You're expecting us to go into a city, destroy the entire city except one house, and that of the house where the red light burns? Really? Just because there's a red cord hanging out the window? Come on, guys. If anybody ought to be punished, it's Rahab. But you see what happened instead. Do you see that Rahab, instead of being destroyed, instead of being killed, instead of being criticized and ostracized, do you see that Rahab came over and joined the people of God? The scripture points to these wonderful things. The scripture reports a few chapters later, after the walls came tumbling down, that Rahab was saved. And then wonder of wonders, if you keep on looking and you find Rahab's name throughout the Bible, you find some pretty wonderful things. The identity of these spies isn't clearly known, but they can't be mistaken for the first spies that Moses sent in, which was Joshua and Caleb. But we can speculate that one of these spies was Salmon from the tribe of Judah. And he married Rahab. Salmon was the son of Nahash. But he came from a pretty special family, because Salmon's sister was Elsheba, the priest, the high priest of Israel, Aaron's wife. And since Judah was leading the leading tribe, when his father died, Salmon took his place. So he was a pretty important guy in the tribe of Judah. So they could be considered the royal family of Israel. But most importantly, as we continue to read, we see that she was the ancestress of Jesus. In addition to the kingly tribe, we see that she actually was the ancestress of some pretty important prophets, namely Jeremiah and the prophetess Hilda. Salmon and Rahab were the parents of Boaz. Boaz, as in the book of Ruth. And they had a baby called Obed. And Obed grew up, and he had a son called Jesse. And Jesse grew up and had a son called David. And we all know who King David was. There are only two women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus, and both of them were scarlet women. Both of them were heathens. Both of them were pagans. Regardless of whether you are a Rahab or a Ruth or a John today, all you need do is to plead for God's forgiveness. If you're one of the troops today, sitting on the banks of the Jordan, having led a good, clean life, and you don't feel particularly stained, look down at what is in your hand today, because you too are holding a scarlet thread, because you too have been forgiven. Maybe your sins might not be considered as huge as we might have seen that Rahab might have committed. That each one of us have sinned. Every single one of us, without exception, have sinned. Maybe your sin might not be called serious, but we too, every one of us, hold a scarlet thread. The mark of scarlet is on you too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy or drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And such were some of us. But we have been washed. We have been justified in the name of Jesus. All of us have been marked by scarlet. There's not one of us in this place today that has not. But we all can receive salvation through Jesus Christ. For centuries, scarlet has been seen as the color of sin. But this morning I want to show you another scarlet as well. the scarlet of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the unmistakable red badge of courage poured out from the hands and feet of the descendant of this same Rahab, who stretched out his arms on the cross and died for you and for me, that each one of us might be cleansed and made as white as snow. This morning I'm telling each one of us over here to grasp the thread that you were given this morning. Wind a portion of it around your finger and remember this morning the scarlet flowing blood of the Savior as he hung on the cross. And this morning, if you have never touched that hand, the hand of the Savior that bled for you and for me, I'm asking you to come forward this morning and to do just that. To come forward and give your life to him. Grasp that blood, that scarlet thread of blood that flowed from the throne, that flowed from the cross for you and for me. Our God is able. He's eager. He's willing for every single one of us that hang out our scarlet cord in order that we might be saved. He's willing and he's eager and he's able to grasp that cord and to save us. Amen. None of us need count ourselves lost forever. If you, like Rahab, can say, I know the Lord, I've heard of the Lord, and I see that the Lord is the God of heaven and earth, you can be forgiven. And if you, like Rahab, can say, deal kindly with me and cry out to God for mercy, he will change you. He will forgive you. He will use you. And he will rescue you. Whatever you have done, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be cleansed. They can be washed away. That scarlet is not indelible. You can be as clean as the whitest of snow. Grasp that cord this morning and ask. And this morning, as I close in prayer, if there is anyone here this morning that wants to come forward and come to the altar and just give their life to God, if you have never done so, today is your day. Come this morning. Come grasp the cross of Christ. Father God, we thank and praise you that though our sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Lord God, as we reach out to you this morning, I pray, Father God, that you will touch each person in this place today. Lord, that each person might come leave this place knowing today that, Lord, should you call any one of us home today, that we know where we will be going. Because, Father, we have grasped and we have caught on to that saving grace of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this today in the name of Jesus. Amen.